Fly down, rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Destructo Discourse. This is a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast. We are on episode 19, and I am your host, Tyler. Joining the discourse is Jason.
Hi.
Melissa.
Hi.
Dave.
Hello.
And Matt.
What's up?
So, this is a Dragon Ball Z podcast. Dragon Ball Z is a famous anime, as we all know.
I was not aware of this.
I think you say that every single week.
I thought we were the only ones.
I have very bad memory.
Someday I'm going to beat it into your head. Yes, Dragon Ball Z is an anime.
Okay, sure. Okay.
We're on the same page now.
Yes.
It's not a shared hallucination amongst millions of people.
I have a confession to make.
Oh, we're here for you.
It's an anime-related confession. I feel like it would behoove me to be honest on this as a host of an anime podcast. I feel like my behavior this week was unbecoming of said position. I was at Barnes & Noble buying One Piece volumes in bulk because I have a problem. That's a different confession entirely.
Well, bulk is cheaper.
I was gonna say, we've all been there, bro.
And as I was leaving, I was walking past their copious amounts of pop figures, and in the display I saw a Super Saiyan Goku pop. And I looked at it, and instead of the black soulless pits that are pop figures' eyes, it had like turquoise blue eyes, like a Super Saiyan does. And in my brain, I thought, huh, nice attention to detail. And then I wanted to go home and wash my mouth out with soap for even thinking about a pop figure. I just wanted to clear the air and let everyone know, yes, I did, in my brain, compliment a pop figure on something, and I feel very bad about it.
You feel conflicted. How close were you to going up to the checkout and inviting that little vinyl tribble into your home?
I mean, thankfully, I already had the bag with my purchases in it, so that dissuaded me from making further purchases.
Is this like when you're yelling at your character in a video game when you're not doing well enough? fucking goddamn it, Ezio, that's not the direction I told you to jump.
Like, I pushed the buttons good, you just gotta do it now.
Yeah, is this like the real world physical version of that?
My part of the transaction is complete, Ezio.
I can tell from your tone that you understand my pain intimately.
I mean, I played 3 Dark Souls, Dave. I understand.
That's very true.
Uh-huh. I mean, those pops, they cram as much detail in there as they can.
As their overlords allow.
Yeah.
As their design documents will dictate.
In their defense, I do constantly come across the occasional pop that almost breaks me.
That is my greatest fear in life. One day there will be one.
This is the title of your autobiography.
And when you get one, you might as well keep going.
That's the floodgates, friend.
Yep. The pop that broke me.
Once you pop,
it
just don't stop.
No.
Nope.
I'm going to buy you one as a present.
Does anybody else have any anime confessions they would like to share before we get started?
I've still never seen Cowboy Bebop.
That's gross.
Disgusting.
I can tell you I didn't see it until last year was the first time I saw it, because I had a bad experience with it in junior high and it just didn't appeal to me, and so I never watched it. But I watched it last year and it's pretty good, and it holds up pretty good.
That is my understanding.
Yeah.
I don't know if it counts as a confession, but I can list out anime that I've started watching but never finished.
I mean,
some of them deserve it though.
Right.
Yeah.
I definitely do have that dropped section on my anime list thing, which does include Bleach, Naruto,
Well, that one's real long.
Nothing lost there.
I gave Naruto a good 60 episodes.
That's, you know, a fair what? Shake. That is more than enough.
The key with Naruto is to read or slash watch just enough of it that you can have at least some semblance of understanding of what's going on in the dozens of novel length fanfictions written for it, which my understanding is that they're really good.
Mm-hmm. I would say read slash watch up until Sasuke leaves, and then just imagine Naruto went, okay then. Bye.
Just went on with his life.
There's a lot of shows like that. Just went home.
Mm-hmm.
That Gaara Rock Lee fight was pretty good though.
Oh yeah.
I think that's about where I stopped.
That was the peak.
You're like,
that's where everybody stops.
Tune-in exam is pretty much the height. I have an equally gross confession.
Mm-hmm. We just need our listeners to trust us as anime experts.
we're here to open up. We're here to show our vulnerable side.
Oh, right.
I have watched the show Keijo in its entirety.
Which one's that one?
Keijo's the one about the girls who do sumo wrestling on water with their asses and titties.
That's all right. That's the butt sport one.
And what's worse is I actually really enjoyed it.
For the story, right?
It's a very funny show.
I look forward to, I've been talking to folks off mic about getting through Hunter Hunter, Hunter X Hunter, Hunter Cross Hunter, Hunter by Hunter, whatever you want to call it. I'm about 10 episodes away from finishing it, and then I will, for the first time, remove a show from my Crunchyroll queue instead of adding them. And I'm so fucking excited to do that.
You're free.
I'm looking at you, Hajime no Ippo.
I can Hunter Cross Hunter it off my list.
Good. You're a criminal.
Do you guys want to talk about the episodes this week?
I guess.
Or should we just stop? Right, is that enough?
Yeah. My anime confession is that I want to talk about the episodes this week.
Oh, I love that confession.
You brought it around.
I confess
got there.
That rules.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tyler, how are we all watching these here episodes?
Well, on this show, we watch 3 episodes of Dragon Ball Z every week until we're done. this week, we're watching episodes 55, 56, and 57, and most of us are watching the Funimation dub, but a few of us dip into that Japanese sub every once in a while, too.
Oh, that good, good Japanese.
For extra context.
Mm-hmm. And extra there's credit. Some King Kai here, so I'm looking forward to it.
Episode 55, the English title is Piccolo versus Everyone. Which might be my favorite title we've gotten so far.
Yeah, this is the best episode name. Do we even need the Japanese title for this one?
It's a very different title.
Mm.
Oh yeah, for the sake of ritual, I will complete that. I will say that the Japanese title roughly translates to "A Man of Miraculous Resurrection from the Edge of Death," Vegeta.
Oh, that's so a different plotline,
different focus,
a little bit,
depending on which language you speak.
So episode 55 begins with Goku doing some upside-down sit-ups.
So many abs.
Got a lot of
Lord.
Them.
He's got like 20 abs.
All up in those abs.
He is going to create a workplace hazard with just that puddle of sweat that is just accumulating. Where is that all going?
Space.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's wondering how the King Kai crew are doing. Yamcha and everyone, they're still struggling to catch this damn monkey.
Mm.
And Piccolo is getting impatient.
It was at this point that I noticed, I don't know what Funimation's doing. Hi, Funimation. Thanks for listening.
Yo.
What up?
But the English episodes, they look fine. I switched over to the Japanese video. It was super blown out. Like, those color levels were not
just
good.
Way overexposed?
Yeah.
Like, the video itself changed, not just the audio?
Yeah. Like,
oh, that's so weird.
Like,
that's
that weird pan across bubbles and Yamcha, like, has that nice pink sky in the English version. It is white in the Japanese version.
Yowza.
So, I don't know. That's weird.
While we're putting Funimation on blast this week, I noticed something in the second episode. On the DVDs, which is on the English music track, there is just music, no sound effects. So it is bizarre to watch that one.
Oh, weird.
Whoa. Huh.
Yamcha is chasing Bubbles, and he takes a header And when he smacks on the ground like an idiot, mm-hmm. the camera angle is exactly correct to make it look like the halo is on his nuts.
Yeah, they made that do a little leap.
Yeah, to the point that I'm not sure if I can believe that was an accident. It's centered so perfectly.
What I think may or may not have been an accident was the fact that they had, when he was just eating, just eaten total shit on the ground, the camera was angled up and just pointing down at his back. That was a little too familiar to Yamcha's permanent crater nap that we all know and love.
Gotta reuse that posing.
King Kai calls for a lunch break, and everybody does their best Goku impression.
Mm-hmm.
Slammin' rice.
Doesn't he call for like three lunch breaks in this episode?
He does.
Yeah.
I don't remember if they covered this with Goku. They're dead, though.
Uh-huh.
Why they gotta eat?
I thought about this, too.
Yeah, why do they need to do this?
He goes into what his menu is, and it's basically every possible edible word you could think of with fried attached to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this doesn't seem like a diet to nourish the finely honed body
for
of a martial artist.
For an exercise regimen.
Yeah.
Can I please tell you the amazing Japanese thing that he was saying
in that point.
When they compliment him on his cooking, and he says when he was younger, he took his cooking class, and the teacher told him that he would make a very good husband someday.
Aww.
Oh shit!
He's King Kai dropping material, hints. Guys.
I want to meet that teacher.
That is like when he's got that kind of blushing face, and he's just kind of like messing with his hand. Is when he's saying that he'll make somebody a good husband someday.
One day he'll find us.
Still waiting.
He's got a great car. He's a god. Like
I was gonna say, yeah.
Get out
one
there.
One day he'll find another bug god who appreciates his taste in horrible, horrible jokes.
What kind of a dating app does this fool have to use?
Well, there's four Kais and they all know each other.
Oh boy.
I am sure there are fanfics.
It's a very limited dating pool.
Yeah.
Wait, is it Okai Cupid?
Go to jail.
That was actually good, which makes it way worse. I hate you.
I have a theory on why he's taking so many lunch breaks. If you remember, Goku's the first Earthling to ever make it to King Kai. And Goku is pretty abnormal when it comes to his eating schedule.
Yeah, like five lunches a day.
Yep, and they're all an entire fridge. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure King Kai was just like, well, I guess all Earthlings eat like this? Like, alright. And just kind of carries that over with the rest of these schmucks.
But they don't seem to mind.
Yeah, no. They're not complaining.
They're just kind of proving his theory.
That food did look good, though.
It did.
I saw some dumplings, saw some fried rice.
Looked like some ramen going on in there.
It was a little racially insensitive, though, every time he asked Piccolo why he's not eating.
I thought things about Namekians.
He wasn't eating, but he was taking a swig out of some gourd.
And he unstoppers that gourd with the most delicious sound. Like, it's the most, it's tactile.
Yeah, I don't remember him ever needing water, too. Is that just Michael's secret stuff he's got there?
I mean, the Namekians drink water, Dende said.
Oh, do they?
That's what they subsist on.
Okay.
Yeah, and the Japanese
water and sunlight.
In the Japanese version, King Kai says it's amazing that you can exist just on water. But then Piccolo gives him a look, and I don't know if we're supposed to read into that look.
Piccolo drinks water like he's in a damn Gatorade commercial. Yeah. Splashing all over his face.
There was a close-up.
Gourd brand water, this week's sponsor.
Yeah, it's called Gourderade.
Piccolo, make sure you get the label in the screen.
Yeah.
Come
on. Well, the problem is that they tried to green screen him and it just made him disappear.
So after lunch, Yamcha is the first one who manages to catch Bubbles, and he does so by scissoring him.
I was taking a drink.
It's not safe.
No.
It's not safe, ever, with Yamcha around.
Tien is next to catch Bubbles, and he just grabs him by the tail. Chiaotzu catches Bubbles off screen.
He did it. He promised.
They do show.
We don't want to know.
They do show him them capturing each other back and forth.
That's very cute.
Back and forth. Back.
Yeah. Yamcha delivers the line, "I caught the monkey," as if he is just on the edge of tears.
I mean, he may as well have been.
Right? Yeah.
So now it's time for Gregory's game, and Yamcha's up first again. Piccolo, not very interested in playing along.
Wait. What's Gregory up? Appears to the Sailor Moon transformation sound effect.
Do you have a theory about Gregory based on the sound effect, or are you just reveling in it?
I want to know what his secret magical girl powers are. Because he does. He appears, and it's the same, like, I swear, exact same, like, shing sound effect that they use whenever they transform in Sailor Moon.
Did Toei also animate Sailor Moon? Do you know?
Oh, God. Yes.
I know they did because Sailor Moon Crystal. I don't know if they did the original.
Toei is notorious for reusing sound effects.
Yeah.
In all of their shows.
Interesting.
Like a lot of their like bouncy Majin Buu noises later on show up in One Piece for the Sproingy rubber noises.
Huh. Yeah, I'm looking it up and it was done by Toei from 1992 to 1997, broadcast in Japan.
Yeah, so they probably just have a bank of sound effects that they use in everything.
It was a good pull. Good job.
So are you saying that the version of Gregory we see is post Henshin?
Yes.
Pretty Guardian Gregory.
Well, he starts as a cat and then he becomes a Gregory.
Well, huh. See,
that's the live action version.
Well, it says that
I'm dying to see this transformation sequence now.
What's interesting is that it says that the anime adaptation for DBZ aired a few years before Sailor Moon started. So,
well, time travel is involved in all things.
Yeah.
So,
I refuse to accept that the henchy noise for my favorite series came from a flying bug.
Shit, you're right.
I just won't let that be my truth.
Is Gregory a Kamen Rider who flunked out?
Oh, he's based on a grasshopper, so yes.
On Namek, Apool is monitoring Vegeta's condition. And Frieza is moping in his chambers about how he doesn't have the Dragon Balls yet.
What a shame.
And he wishes that he did.
I mean, he's got some of them.
I want them all!
I feel really bad for Zarbon. Who has to put up with this all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, oh, the emperor of the universe is Veruca Salt. Like, that's gotta be great.
Don't care how, I want it now.
But Daddy, I want my Dragon Balls now!
You beat me to it.
We go back to Kenkai's planet, and I noted that this is just kind of a chill episode over there. Like, they're having a good time.
They're just having lunches, taking naps.
Apparently off-screen, Yamcha and Tien managed to hit Gregor already, so Chaozu is play-acting a baseball game.
I love this.
And they're doing color commentary, and Gregory is playing along as well.
This is the best.
This is important. Why does Tien know how to make baseball jokes?
Yamcha's
He's
probably
a fan.
Told him.
Like, he makes more baseball jokes here than Yamcha. Like,
he's watched Yamcha's games.
Yeah.
No, he was off lifting waterfalls.
Yeah, but he saw TV once in a while.
Yeah, every now and again.
I don't know if I believe that.
At least his first game. It's his best friend-ish.
Yeah.
Look, okay, Tien is a complicated three-dimensional character. You don't know what his pastimes are.
I don't know. I don't know if I have it in me to believe that he ever paid attention to anything. Oh, no, actually, no, never mind. That explains it. Long was doing Yamcha a favor, so she told Tien that if he watched his baseball games, it would help him beat Goku one day. you can get Tien to do absolutely anything if you tell him that.
Oh, yeah.
Beating Goku is just like, it's really the carrot at the end of several sticks for many different characters here.
I mean, it really depends at what you want to beat Goku at. Like, if you have a fantasy baseball league, you can definitely beat him at that.
Are you saying it's the Kakarot at the end of a stick?
Good night, everybody.
What is going on tonight, guys?
I was going to say, this is a terrible
This is
night.
What happens when we do jokes at 50 times gravity.
Firing on all
cylinders.
If we get
1,000 of these jokes off, we can go to 60.
So now that everyone has completed the two entry training sessions with King Kai, it's time to start sparring. And Piccolo offers to spar everyone at once, because he's like, not convinced that they're very strong.
Ready for this.
Three on one.
By the way, something that bugged me, like, early on throughout this training montages, I think it was Tien mentioned something about their training so that they could take on Frieza.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole time I'm just like, this is pointless. Piccolo's the only one that's going. They've stated that much already. They just want to get Piccolo back.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they'll fight something someday. Surely.
You know, they'll do like a fight or two.
I guess they need something to do while they're there.
They start fighting, and to Piccolo's surprise, they give him a good fight.
Yeah.
And Chiaotzu grabs onto his back.
The patented backpack attack.
It's just like Chiaotzu's trying to practice blowing up in the hopes that next time he will do literally anything when he kills himself.
I did like that Chiaotzu's downfall this time was that his opponent had arms that could stretch.
Yeah.
I know, the return of the Piccolo stretchy arm.
I forgot about that, and it deserved me.
That wasn't really around, like, at all in Z that much that I can remember.
It doesn't,
mostly
doesn't come up too
thing.
Often.
Yeah, it figures that it comes up in a filler episode.
Yeah. It does, however, come up in the tie-in game by Arc System Works, Dragon Ball FighterZ, or FighterZ, where his special move is, instead of beaming, he just has a big old grabby hand.
Get over here.
Get over here.
Piccolo grabs Chiaotzu and just slams him through that matte painting background.
Head first.
Fatal.
Just like Wile E. Coyote.
Tien is very upset, and King Kai's like, you can't die twice, idiot.
Yeah, when I heard that, I was like, yeah, sure, how long till we break that rule, too?
Oh, I just you stuff. Wait.
Dragon Ball Super.
All right.
Yep.
Gotcha. Asked and answered.
Yamcha and Tien manage to bring Piccolo to his knees, so he ditches the weighted clothes, but King Kai calls the match in favor of another lunch.
The winner today is lunch.
Mm-hmm. And we get a bizarre joke. I'm very curious to hear the Japanese version.
It's good.
And if it has any better context.
You won't be disappointed.
What was the English one again?
The English joke that he turns and tells everyone before lunch is, what's the only kind of dog that doesn't bark? A hot dog.
Yeah.
Many tens of thousands of years of human civilization before hot dogs were invented, this joke was already old.
Ugh. I laughed, though.
It hurts me. Yeah, me too.
So,
more anime confessions.
How did this joke translate over, or from the original Japanese?
Oh, it doesn't translate at all. The beautiful pun that he tells is, a vegetable you eat in the morning that makes you fart is asparagus. Because Asa, from Asa, they say Asaparagasu. Asa means morning. And then the gasu is the fart. And the para brings
them together. So it's a Japanese to English pun.
Yes.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Rice catch.
So is this King Kai just like workshopping his stand-up routine?
I think he's got it down.
He's been on that type 5 for the past 500 years.
I mean, he has a captive audience.
Oh yes,
that's true.
Quite captive.
Do you think is that why he? You have to tell him a joke to get in? Is because he's stealing like hundreds of years worth of material?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It all makes sense. Back on Namek, Apool still monitoring Vegeta, when Vegeta's eyes fly open in his tank, and he explodes out of it.
Vegeta heard you talking shit.
Yeah, presumably killing Apool in the blast.
He probably said something that rhymes vaguely with Goku.
Or no, that rhymes vaguely with Kakarot.
With Kakarot.
I just remember when that scene was happening, just thinking, this has got to be like a genuine horror moment for him. Because before he woke up, he was saying how Vegeta was like near death and it would take forever for him to heal up. So he's like,
I don't think he'll ever wake up. Yeah. Oh shit!
I might as well take a break.
He comes to life with the vigor of like a sci-fi terror monster.
Yeah,
like Frankenstein.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's literally like Jason just sitting back up.
Nope.
With a machete in his face.
The machete is made of laser.
Vegeta blasts a hole in the wall in order to trick Zarbon and Frieza into thinking that he left, and then he sneaks over to Frieza's now unguarded chamber, where he finds 5 Dragon Balls just waiting for him.
Oh, it's the jackpot today.
This is honestly a pretty good trick that he pulls.
Yeah.
It also illustrates, I think, why Frieza has, like, an army, despite being able to destroy star systems himself.
By himself.
Because, like, any number of mooks on watch in the hallways here would have scuttled Vegeta.
This whole plan.
Yeah. That's not really a criticism of Vegeta. It's mm-hmm. more like Frieza is not as incompetent as one might think.
Mm-hmm. he's just spoiled and lazy.
Yeah, still a terrible boss, though.
Yeah, this is the Dragon Ball version of, like, in a movie in a chase scene where somebody, like, pulls a door open but then runs the other way so that the person comes around the corner just in time to see that door close.
Vandalize a sign with the word detour.
Yeah, I was fully expecting, like, a full-on, like, Scooby-Doo hallway chase gag.
Yeah.
I would sacrifice human lives to see that, to see a Scooby-Dooby-Doors sequence in Dragon Ball.
This is one of my favorite aspects of the Namek arc, is that, like, it's not finding the Dragon Balls that's the problem. It's just these hard swings between who has them in their possession.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At any given time.
The scripting and story structure of this arc is honestly really good, I think.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it.
The Japanese version, Vegeta, in his little inner monologue as he's looming over the Dragon Balls, he writes a mental letter and says, "Dear Frieza, allow me to inform you that your era has come to an end. Your loving..." Wait. "Your loving Vegeta."
Holy shit.
Oh, that owns. Oh, that rules, actually.
It is an absolute mistake that they didn't put that in the English version.
Yeah, man.
That's a crime. I want a list of names.
Well, one of them is Chris Sabat.
Yeah.
Ah. Oh, no.
He didn't translate it.
Probably not.
Probably
I don't know.
Not.
He is one of the higher ups of Funimation.
Oh, is he?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, was
he back then?
At the time, yeah, he was doing a lot of the casting, which is why he is most of them.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't realize that. It never occurred to me that a voice actor would be, like, that involved.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too uncommon over at Funimation. Yeah, that's the case with Yu Yu Hakusho too. The main character is voiced by the director.
Oh, that's
fun
right.
Fun facts.
That was my anime confession. I never finished Yu Yu Hakusho.
Oh, I gotta do that too.
I never started.
I've heard a lot of my friends really, really love it.
It's got some good bits.
Oh, the show's great. The ending is not.
Oh, really?
Interesting, I see. Okay.
Oh, boy. Oh, that happens sometimes.
As someone who writes things, like, that. Barely a mark against something.
Oh yeah,
right.
It's extremely
writing a good
anime.
Writing a good ending is so hard.
Yeah, it's rare for an anime to stick the landing.
Can't wait for One Piece to end.
I'm looking at you, Kamen Rider Denno.
Hey y'all! Hey y'all! Sailor Moon has a pretty good ending.
you are not wrong.
Yeah, well, Dragon Ball hasn't technically ended yet, so.
I mean, Tyler, don't be ridiculous. Like, eventually, after human civilization has, you know, has gone from the
ceased
face
to
of the
be.
Earth, and aliens arrive and find this planet
and start a Crunchyroll account.
Yeah, there's going to be, you know, reruns of Law and Order, and
Friends,
yes, and One Piece is still going to be going. The will still be coming out. Million years in the future, when the Gene Wolfe books are set, One
are
Piece
you,
is still ended.
Are you just kind of describing the basic plot premise to Nier Automata? It's aliens getting a Crunchyroll account, so that's pretty much, we're pretty much shot ready.
There's nothing inaccurate about that.
That would have been a fantastic side quest if some robot was still watching One Piece in Nier Automata.
It would not be even remotely out of character.
It would not, it would fit perfectly.
Yeah.
This somehow continues.
Lord. I was going to say, also, technically, Dragon Ball Z has ended at least 4 times.
Yes, sure.
Oh, God. Jay, it's too late for you to make me laugh that hard. Oh, my God.
episode 56. The English title is Zarbon's Mission.
And it translates in Japanese roughly to an enormous battle power. Frieza's strategy is shattered.
Uh-oh. Sorry, Frieza.
Yeah, I mean, this episode's title had to make up for the last one being so awesome. Zarbon's Mission, all right.
Zarbon's Surprise 2.
The surprising ing.
For this 20 minutes, Zarbon's the new main character.
Yay! I'd watch that show.
You already did.
Yay!
That's what the Z stands for in the show Dragon Ball Z. It stands for Zarbon.
We never knew it. Zarbon is scouring the area for Vegeta. He has 1 hour to track him down before Frieza doles out some punishment.
This is the beginning of Frieza establishing a trend of giving, like, time limits on things that are not... Useful or accurate.
He is a man of very little patience.
You have 1 hour.
I love that when Vegeta is trying to escape here, he says, with Frieza and Zarbon out looking for me, and it's just, Zarbon is the only one looking for you, man. Frieza's just standing there.
It's been like 30 seconds since they got into that room, and Frieza's yelling, you haven't found him yet? Like, he just got there.
Very little patience.
Is he more patient with the Ginyu Force? Like, is he used to have more, like, elite servants or something?
I bet the Ginyu Force just gets things done, you know?
Yeah. He is lenient towards their idiosyncrasies because of their professionalism, I think.
Yeah.
Well, if there's one thing you can count on Captain Ginyu for.
I noticed here, there was an animation note I made. Mm-hmm. That for all of the scenes where Frieza is running through the base looking for Vegeta,
yep.
We never actually cut to see Vegeta's Frieza's legs running or moving. Because it seems wrong to me somehow to just see Frieza running outside of his egg pod.
Yeah. It would be almost as indecent as seeing Vegeta take off his gloves.
Exactly.
Also, if you've seen Frieza's feet, it's... I think a lot of the animators looked at that and thought,
I
don't know what to do with this.
Mr. Toriyama, I don't wanna.
Here's a note from my doctor. He says I can't. He says I get to go home today.
My doctor has forbidden me to draw Frieza's feet. One person out there will get that joke.
Japanese Vegeta is in there with the Dragon Balls, counting very carefully. It cuts to him, and he says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Dragon Balls.
They're so fucking bad at math.
Saiyans and numbers, he just had to make sure.
The count would have had this taken care of by now.
He had to touch each one as he said it just so that he wouldn't miscount. Mm-hmm. Wait, did I touch that one already? Damn it!
He starts over and he sees the number of stars on one of the Dragon Balls and it just throws him completely.
1, 2, 7, 5. Fuck!
Ah! Kakarot! Wait. can we talk about how Vegeta manages to very carefully and tactfully exit with all 5 of these quite heavy, quite big Dragon Balls.
Please do.
This is a one-man Ocean's 11 scene.
Right, exactly. Like, how's he gonna lift all these? He can't, like, get them all up in his powerful arms. I'll tell you what he does.
I guess he just leaves with one, right?
No, he doesn't leave with one and come back. He doesn't have the time,
stupid.
Tyler. He doesn't have the time. He's got Zarbon on his back.
He's got an hour.
Yeah. So what he does is he blasts a hole in the window and fastball specials all 5 of them into the lake.
Throws them onto the horizon.
It just kind of assumes he knows where they're going to land.
Yeah, they'll probably be over there-ish.
It's like casting stasis on something in Breath of the Wild, just beating the hell out of it to just see where it goes.
I mean, he honestly gets pretty darn clever when his back is against the wall. I have to give it to him.
Yeah.
And then this is like my favorite, like, shot in the whole show so far, where he sinks into the water like the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Chuckling as he goes.
I was gonna say, as weird as it is, that's probably one of my top five Vegeta moments.
Oh my god.
Just, I absolutely that, love that.
Just that sinister looking, like,
yep.
Cool, so fucking find me now, Zarbon.
So fucking cool.
Just expecting the one unblown up shoulder pad on his, like, a shark fin.
Or just like the tip of his hair sticking out.
We get my favorite quote from Frieza so far towards Zarbon after they realize that the Dragon Balls are gone and Vegeta is also gone with them. He says, "Stop apologizing and start doing things right."
You know what? That's great advice.
That's a true leader right there.
Mm-hmm. He's a doer.
That's how he took over the galaxy.
So Zarbon is off to find the Dragon Balls.
There's the one thing that I absolutely love, like, without any irony, where, like, Frieza lifts up his tail and it cracked the floor underneath him because he was so angry. And it's like the foreshadowing for how dangerous and powerful Frieza actually is I think really well done throughout all these episodes.
Oh yeah.
It's one place where how long the show takes to do anything really works to its advantage, because that build-up is stretched out over a long period.
Frieza does with his tail what I like to imagine cats think they're doing with their tail when they do those little flicks.
Fump.
I will smash your domicile, human.
Which is also a thing that Frieza has said at one point, I bet.
Fuck, Frieza does have a lot in common with cats.
Gohan arrives at the devastated Namekian village that Vegeta hid his first ball in. And we cut back over to Vegeta, who has managed to throw all of the balls pretty close together.
Somehow.
Good job.
See, he should have pitched for the Titans. He should have pitched for Yamcha's baseball team.
He's just going to take everything from Yamcha.
Oh. He didn't count them a second time, though, so I don't know if he's 100% that
How
they're all there.
How can he be sure? He hides them all away in a little cove, and then he sees that Earthling, Krillin, carrying the last Dragon Ball.
Well... Nice knowing you, Krillin.
Oh. But he's stronger now.
Yeah, a little bit. His potential has been unlocked.
Vegeta says to himself, as he blasts off towards Krillin, "Guess I should thank you for finding it for me, puny Earthman."
Just really making that camp sci-fi fantasy come to life. Mm-hmm.
I have policy in, like, science fiction and sci-fi RPGs and whatnot, which I call the foolish blind humans policy, which if any alien being ever says the phrase foolish blind humans to you, or anything like roughly equivalent to it, you can just fight it. You can just kill it. Nothing good is going to come out of interacting with that entity. And Vegeta definitely just crossed that threshold.
Back over at the village, Gohan digs a grave for every Namekian in the village before he continues his search for the Dragon Ball.
In lieu of a cross, Gohan plants a non-denominational vertical stick into each plot.
Yes, just to denote there is a person here.
That's a Japanese culture thing, isn't it? That's why it's super rude to, if you have like a bowl of rice, you don't stick your chopsticks in it.
Yeah.
Just stick them in there, because that's like a funeral thing.
A grave?
Yeah.
Gohan swims down looking for the Dragon Ball with the radar, which appears to be waterproof.
Yeah.
Apparently.
That surprised me, actually.
Yeah, I did not expect that. And Gohan finds the Gohan.
Yay!
He gets the Gohan!
He gets the Gohan.
I have a note that there was a little teeny little sea creature attached to the Gohan.
It looked familiar. Where'd that come from?
Yeah, it looks exactly like a mini version of the giant Tentaterrors on Fake Namek.
How the fuck did they know that those things were on Namek? Those were real on that planet.
Yes.
Because they were invisible in the Fake Namek part. Man, that's just confusing.
The more I learn, the less I understand about what exactly happened on that planet.
It's better to just not think about it.
Yeah. Don't think about the lake of acid that may or may not have actually existed.
Maybe those little squid snail things are actually like the most well-traveled in the galaxy creatures.
Yeah. They're actually a highly intelligent life form.
Yeah.
Capable of space travel.
They can survive atmospheric re-entry.
they're all force sensitive.
Back on Goku's ship, he does 10,000 upside down sit-ups, probably, because maybe math is correct. I don't know. Who can say with these folks?
We'll just have to take his word for it.
If only he had a scouter.
So he decides to up the gravity to 60G as soon as he can move again.
Which is not right now.
Not quite ready.
At which point I realized, like, you gotta really time out this working out. Because, you know, like, you work out and then you're sore for a couple days. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get to Namek on one of those sore days.
Right.
Because you're going to have to tell Frieza, like, hang on a second, I gotta recover.
I gotta stretch.
Yeah.
I need my protein shake.
Frieza's gotten really powerful in his time, I'm sure he'd understand.
I wonder if Zenzu beans negate soreness.
Mm.
Like, if they just set you back at zero.
Doms be damned.
Mm-hmm.
My recovery protocol is a bean.
Back over on Namek, by pure dumb luck, Zarbon manages to see Vegeta, who's chasing Krillin. And then they start a choo-choo train.
Welcome to the wacky races. As Krillin continues to kite every bad person on this planet.
Towards the most fragile human that they have in their crew.
Krillin, goddammit, quit drawing aggro.
You're growing with a terrible tank.
Exactly.
Goku is still having trouble moving, and Dr. Briefs comes down. Jason, do you have any theories about what's going on?
Oh, wow. Well, here's my thing. Does Dr. Briefs even really need to try to kill Goku at this point? Because he seems to be doing a fantastic job on his own. But, I don't know, I bet you that all you have to do is tweak a little decimal place in the tracking and the routing, and your ship is suddenly going through a big magnetic storm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, Goku.
Oh,
there's
no.
Nothing I can do.
Darn.
I guess you're just going to have to wait it out.
The space storm is fucking with his gravitron.
As they call it.
Yep. And
it's my favorite transformer.
It's been stuck at 100G. Oops. Dr. Briefs tells him, you're going to have to ride it out for an hour.
Also, you might probably die.
Yeah. So, great
job.
Your
bones might turn to liquid.
Goku puts himself into a high gravity saw trap in space. Well done. GG.
Our hero.
He starts getting swung around by the ankles and just bashing into the sides of his ship, so he's probably fine.
Yeah, he's great.
And he Kamehameha's himself in the face.
That's next episode.
Okay.
Oh, trust, I got a whole flash card on that.
Krillin makes it back to Bulma, who's just sitting out in the open reading a magazine.
She's reading her horoscope.
I love this line that she gives him when he gives her grief for being out. And she comes up and she says, I'm a big girl and I'll do what I want.
She's a grown-ass woman.
Mm-hmm.
Vegeta manages to find them because Krillin admits to not paying attention to the fact that he was being followed.
Wow.
He was so happy about his power being higher.
Too hype.
I might be relevant.
Power has already gone to his head.
I don't want to be that relevant, though.
Zarbon's here now, too, and it's a party.
Bulma's got a crush on him.
Oh, she is.
Oh my god.
She starts swooning right off the bat.
Bulma is immediately smitten.
Girl.
That's all I have for episode 56. Any closing thoughts?
This is where Vegeta is talking about, you know, Saiyans getting more powerful each time they are defeated, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is where that concept started to lose me a little bit. Like, I totally dig the idea of Saiyans, you know, thriving on war and conflict, like, mm-hmm. like spiky-haired orcs, basically. But it being, I don't know if it's just the way Vegeta phrases it, but he acts that way later also, where it's, like, it's so mechanical. Like, Vegeta's number is lower than Transformed Zarbon's number. Zarbon almost kills him. Then his number increases to some amount higher than Transformed Zarbon's number. Like,
right. It's
so predictable, it lost me a little bit here.
That's how numbers do.
He's gaming the mechanics of the game.
Right.
Yeah. Which, I mean, when it's that quantifiable, I suppose it's probably not that hard.
Every time they lose a fight, they get to respec.
Yeah.
There you go.
Basically. With more points than they had last time.
I mean, this isn't one of those fucking RPGs where you can't just respec whatever you want.
No, you gotta get punched in the face a bunch first.
You have to do the Terravolta trial first.
Jason, that did my heart good.
It's every time you lose, the difficulty goes down just a little bit.
Okay. Oh, so it's like the Mario game going, do you want us to help you with this stage?
Do you want like an invincible mushroom shit?
Do you want Luigi to do it for you?
Do you need a power boost? We'll give you a power boost.
Maybe we should just call it Goku.
Yeah.
Oh boy. The only note I have for this is just a quick ping of the dragon radar.
Mm-hmm.
Because our mystical wish orbs are changing hands today.
Yeah.
So
who's
far,
got what?
Who's got what? I'll tell you. Vegeta's got the 6, 2, 7, 5, and 3 star balls, leaving only 1 and 4 out in the wild. 1 is in the possession of Krillin, and 2, or 4, rather, is in the possession of Gohan. The Gohan with the Gohan.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to remember.
Mm-hmm. It's like a monocle.
No matter how bad you are at numbers.
No matter how sad you are.
Even Vegeta can do it.
I just imagined Vegeta seeing mm-hmm. the Muzzy commercial and counting in French.
this brings me great joy.
Cataract. Wait.
Cataract. Episode 57. The English title is Gohan the Hunted.
That's a great title.
it's better than Zarbon's mission.
We'll see how it plays out. The Japanese title roughly translates to "I'm back to my old self again." Goku takes on 100 times gravity. So again, two roads diverged, and we take the road less subbed.
Yeah, the sub is a bit more relevant to what actually happens in the episode.
I feel like both of those titles are not really indicative of the main focus of the episode.
They're like the last 5 minutes on both cases.
Yeah. Exactly.
Goku is still at the whims of the space storm. And I have a note that just says, where the fuck is Dr. Briefs getting that out-of-ship camera angle?
Yes!
Yeah!
I have the same followed. Thing. Like,
what kind of drones does he have out in deep space just getting up to nonsense?
Briefs is trying to make sure he gets the job done.
But Briefs is out here breaking the fourth wall, seeing through our vision.
Yes. He's ascended to that level of technology. He has to make sure he can confirm the kill once... Once something finally does Goku in.
He can view the world via the fourth wall.
Goku is trying his damnedest to get his ankles free from this rope, but the gravity is still just too much, and he cuts his hand on it.
That is brutal.
It loses a lot of blood.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, holy shit.
It's fine, it's gone in the next scene.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't want to draw it, so whatever.
All this gravity training really improved his clotting factor.
It's really thickened his plot armor.
Yeah, you clot faster if you're training in zero gravity or in 60 gravity.
He tries to Kamehameha the rope, but apparently energy is also susceptible to gravity because it blasts right back at him.
Well, it is pretty goofy, but we have established that Kamehamehas can act as retro thrusters.
Yeah.
So they do interact with physics in some way.
Sure.
We've also established that his Kamehameha is stronger than the gravity of a sun.
Yeah.
Which I feel like should be stronger than the gravity in this ship.
Dude, don't underestimate Dr. Briefs like that.
Yeah, I'm just a little baffled by that floaty ball.
I'm not a science major, but I feel like a star's gravity is more than 100 times Earth's gravity.
I wouldn't know.
But... yeah, well, yeah, I guess we can't confirm, so we just...
Gonna get Aaron back in here.
We need someone who's good at numbers.
Yeah.
I had an aesthetic note that I really liked the painting effects on the Kamehameha.
The effect itself?
Yeah.
As it animated?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It looked neat. It looked painted
cool.
Reminded
me a lot of a Hadouken.
Yeah, it was just like a little Hadouken ball that gets... I'm just so struck with how it gets weighed... down,
yeah,
by the ship's gravity
and misshapen.
Yeah,
it almost felt alive in that moment too, which was kind of neat.
Back on Namek, Bulma wants a date with Zarbon.
is there Bulma Zarbon fan fiction?
Oh, how could there not
give
be?
Give it a minute.
Yeah.
Well, on the one hand, how could there not be? On the other hand, their characters—they like they're two characters. Who are explicitly like brought up in a romantic context together in the actual in the actual text of the show, which means there's no fanfiction of them of
that
any
is
kind.
Poison to fanfic authors.
Well, counter argument: if there is Bulma and another male character, there is fanfiction of it.
Oh,
good dang!
Point.
Which rule outweighs the other?
Hang on, this I don't know if you would call Zarbon obscure? What would you classify him as?
I would put him in obscure.
Okay.
I would say he is the Tien of the Frieza Force.
Yeah, this is the first and last we'll hear of him.
I did a Google image search of Bulma Zarbon, and the second thing that came up was Zarbon and one of the villains from Sailor Moon. Hmm. So,
well, I mean, we did establish that he is a villain from Sailor Moon.
Mm-hmm.
Just transposed over to Dragon Ball.
That makes sense to me.
It is a pretty good match.
Which villain?
Sailor Aluminum Siren from Sailor Season 5.
Alright, I don't know anything about Sailor Moon, but apparently I need to fucking get on that shit. If it has names that cool.
Oh, Season 5.
Yeah.
The
Aluminum Siren. Siren Aluminum is definitely the name of a multi-group cell.
She has, her hair is the color of his skin. So
it's a good match.
Yeah, it's a good, good matchup.
Canon.
Vegeta wants to cut to the chase, and he tells Zarbon, just do your transformation thing. We both know you need it.
You know, he said he made sure to say his ugly transformation.
Right.
Can't forget that part. He had to get a sick burn in while he was at it.
Well, now he's just negging him.
Yeah.
Zarbon doesn't think that he needs to transform, and he starts the fight in the normal state. And Vegeta does a pretty deft job of both fending him off and keeping Bulma and Krillin from running away. So Zarbon does realize he needs to transform, which he does, and Bulma rescinds her offer for a date.
So shallow.
So much for that.
Oh, this is in character for her. This is long established.
Goku starts swinging himself around, trying to reach the Gravitron, and he uses a Kaioken to tear the rope from the ceiling, and he tries to manually turn the machine off on his way down. I guess he doesn't manage to do so.
No, he hits the wrong button.
Yeah.
As he's working up to this point, I just thought he activates the Goku centrifuge. That's what it looks like when he's swinging around and around the ship.
And he used his most his weapon with the best track record, his head.
Yep.
And it still failed.
He missed the buttons the first time, but he manages to crawl up the machine with his chin.
He does the worm in 100 times gravity.
And he does use the patented Son family headbutt to defeat the machine. Now that he is used to experiencing 100 times gravity, he says, that's what I need to train at.
Yeah, I feel like used to is a little generous. He's experienced it. For sure.
He doesn't exactly seem used to the other levels by the time he finishes 10,000 sit-ups or whatever, and then says, alright, time to turn it up. He still seems like he's having some trouble with them.
Vegeta is now making pretty easy work of Zarbon, thanks to the Zenkai boost.
The more excellent Chris Sabat beam-shooting demo tapes of the noises that Vegeta makes when he does this.
Goku worms his way across his ship over to his Zenzu bean bag. And we get some very unpleasant animation of Goku's bones snapping back into place.
There's an amazing cut here where Vegeta is, like, bragging to Zarbon and being a Saiyan supremacist.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, when others grow weaker in battle, we Saiyans only grow stronger. Direct hard cut to the bag of Zenzu beans.
I have a note here.
I felt like that was indicative of something, but I'm not sure what.
I mean, I like it. I have a note here that says that good, good bone healing bean erases all the little hatch marks on Goku's model.
Uh-huh. That's how you know he's good to go again.
Yeah. It's how you know a character is injured or not, is how many little hashes they've got going.
I think it's at this point that he decides that he's going to do 100 times gravity. He looks at the machine, and he's like, I'm going to get a snack first. And then he does a bunch of cool flips.
He waves goodbye to the Gravitron, which I thought was very sweet.
His new friend, Gravitron.
His new friend, Punishing Gravity Crush.
Far away on Earth, Dr. Briefs lights another cigarette discontentedly.
Now, I've talked about how this training sequence of him on his way to Namek had to inspire a lot of people in the current day gym culture.
Yeah.
But if anybody did this, where they are almost killed by a weight and then decide, well, that's what I have to use exclusively now. It is sending terrible ideas.
Goku's ready for some CrossFit.
Wait.
He doesn't even have a spotter.
Matt, are you trying to tell me that Goku, Son Goku, is a bad role model?
The Son Goku?
Well, who could possibly spot for Goku? Who could protect him from the things that are heavy enough to, for him to train with?
You have a valid point.
Mm-hmm. You get, who you call him, Tien?
No. I respect him, but no.
And this is from the number one Tien stan.
Vegeta punches directly into Zarbon's guts. And it's at this point that Zarbon tries that same "let's be a team, Vegeta" trick that Kui and Dodoria tried out.
Did it work this time?
It does not work this time either.
Eventually it will.
As the perfect finisher, like... Vegeta sends Zarbon where Zarbon just sent him.
A nearby lake.
To the bottom of a lake.
Yeah, he turns his guts to dust and then puts them in the water. And then he turns his attention to Krillin and Bulma. Krillin hands over the Dragon Ball and Vegeta takes off, assuming that he's now managed to collect them all. So the last thing stopping Vegeta from his wish is Gohan and the four-star ball.
So wait, how much time is left in the episode for Goku to be hunted? Or Gohan?
Well, I mean, the last thing we see is Gohan flying undeterred. So,
so the title is kind of a, well, not this time, but next time.
Which Gohan are they referring to, though?
Well, it doesn't matter because they're both in the same place.
It's true. Point. It's true. So this is where I really start, and I've said this before, I know, but I really start to wonder again, like, is immortality a shorthand for something else? Like enlightenment or omnipotence? Because, like,
the show treats it as omnipotence.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, well, I can't die.
Yeah.
I think Frieza could still just, like, bury you under a mountain. And also, as I recall, the single most powerful entity in the entire show starts out imprisoned in something. So, we know it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to spoil future stuff, but we do see a character with immortality, and it doesn't necessarily go the way that he wants it to.
Yeah, didn't really help him out that much.
Yeah, that's all I have for the episodes this week. Any final thoughts for 57?
I just want to ask the animators in the group, how'd y'all feel about that last shot?
Oh, right.
What was it again?
It's a freeze frame of Gohan in the distance, but it freezes in a bizarre way. Like, he's a still drawing, and he's just getting smaller, and yeah, then he just stops, and then the episode ends.
And on top of that, it's just, like, a really weird angle of, like, Gohan slightly below him.
Yeah.
Like just focusing on his crotch. And it's like, and he's just not, it's not a natural way of flying that we've been shown before.
It's just very strange.
It's so awkward.
Seemed rushed.
Yeah.
Is what I'll say.
Well, you know, they did all that intense Goku animation.
Right. Mm-hmm. They were spent.
Yeah.
Much like Goku.
Yeah.
I think these episodes don't have a common section.
Why waste the effort on the last shot of the episode?
Exactly.
Who's gonna stick around for that?
Who's gonna write notes about that to use in a podcast later? I don't know.
Well, if that's it for the episodes, that means it's time to hail Satan. Or at least talk about what's going on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of things going on.
It's been diverging a little bit.
A true hell on Earth as we know it.
I mean, Satan is the most influential man on Earth, so everything that happens on Earth affects him in some way.
By definition, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Last episode, we caught up with the farmer, who managed to find the memory banks of Mr. Robot out in the desert, put him in a new body, and he keeps him as a sassy sidekick now. The farmer learned some sweet mushroom recipes from Mr. Robot, which allowed him to get a job as a line cook at the Landing Pod, the new bar in New East City, so that he can keep closer tabs on the green-eyed space kids. And Launch and Beelzebubra have set in motion their plan to kidnap Mayor Hafford. Mayor Hafford has received box seat tickets to a Titans game, where she is lured into a bitchin'-looking wolf decal decorated van by Cannoli, who is disguised as Yamcha, and working with Launch and Beelzebubra.
It's the goodness. Perfect crime.
So,
this is such a rich vein.
Drama.
It is. It's strong. So, stuff we were talking about last time that we needed to decide is, does anybody care that the mayor's missing?
Because as established, she ran unopposed.
Well,
right. We were not sure if she was a popular mayor or not.
You know who would definitely care? strongest man on Earth who needs to continue building a reputation for being a superhero with crow powers.
And probably his kid detective daughter.
His Detective Conan child.
You know what should happen? The farmer hears about these events on the news after they are concluded and becomes absolutely convinced that Mr. Satan arranged the kidnapping of the mayor so that he would have a crisis to solve, to look better.
Becky because Heifert was an inside job.
Because he recognizes Cannoli under the disguise.
Right.
That's right.
And again, it's like, did he do this? No. Is it the kind of thing he would do? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, probably.
100%.
Somebody on the What the Folklore Discord has been talking to me about Hail Satan.
Awesome.
Some cross promotion. And they brought up the fact that Videl would want Launch to be caught, but not her mom. So she would try to solve the crime in such a way to pin it all on Launch.
A Machiavellian young kid detective plot.
A Machiavellian?
You know, I thought of that right before you said it, so I can't give you a shit.
So I'm assuming there's probably a very threatening-looking ransom tape that was broadcast to all the news outlets.
Sure.
What disguises would Beelzebarbara and Launch be using to hide their identities? What president masks do they have? Well, I guess the presidents are all dogs, so...
I was about to say, just the novelty masks of previous dog kings.
Yeah.
One of them is just like a Rottweiler, and the other one's a Shiba Inu.
That you can buy at any costume shop in any of the four cities.
What are their demands? We know what launches are.
Yeah, we know what Launch wants. Why,
we
what
should
is,
decide
is,
what Beelzebarbara wants.
Is she just in this for money? Or is there some other agenda?
Yeah, I don't know. We could do some character development where we decide what she cares about in life.
You know what? I bet she could use a little bit of money. I bet she splits up with a deadbeat husband that suddenly strikes it big. And is this
like the biggest
savior? The biggest you can strike it. She wants,
like, also months after they finalized a divorce, which probably sucks quite a bit.
Yeah, now she wants a slice of that cobbler. Like,
she wants some royalty checks.
Oh yeah.
Well, she just wants him to finally fucking pay some child support.
Are you?
I gave her a mansion. What else do you want?
Are you suggesting that despite making, like, millions of dollars, he's still skipping out on child support?
I mean, it doesn't occur to him that it would be necessary, because he just, lets her live in his giant properties and stuff.
With his girlfriend, Miss Pizza.
Yeah.
Auntie Pizza.
And, but it should be like, Beelzebarbara says, you know, I want you to, you know, pay this much money into, you know, this account. And she indicates account that secretly belongs to... That belongs to Beelzebarbara, but they don't know that it's her. And she's saying, like, it belongs to a woman who has put up with enough of your bullshit, and you've done her very wrong. Launch kind of side-eyes her.
And Launch is just firing guns in the background, shouting, TN statue! TN statue!
Firing guns into the air.
To which everyone asks, who?
He invented the solar flare.
Oh, you know what?
You
know what should be a big part of how they get the crisis resolved? The only person who remembers who Tien is Videl.
Because she's been watching the tapes.
Yeah, from she the pays tapes. Attention to the martial arts tournaments.
Nice.
She goes with the police to the hostage negotiation.
She hovers along with Officer Hoverhound.
How many officers get shot by Launch? Like, immediately before any words can be exchanged.
All of them, but they're all fine.
Yeah, they're all fine.
Yeah, you're right!
I was gonna say the exact same thing.
This podcast is refusing to become an entry on doesthedogdie.com. Not today.
Yeah, spoiler alert, the dog never dies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even if they're anthropomorphic cops.
And I also like the idea of Launch and Miss Pizza being, like, the penny and brain to... Hercule's Inspector Gadget.
Yeah.
In some way. To continue increasing his notoriety.
Did you mean Videl and Miss Pizza?
What did I say?
Launch.
Oh, yes. Videl and Miss Pizza.
Okay. Although Launch and Miss Pizza is a ship fic that I'm waiting for, internet. It's called Pizza Lunch.
It's a really good ship name, and I'm mad about it.
Yep. So, I want it on my desk by tomorrow.
I'm just
it's
assuming...
It's called the Little Caesars Lunch Special.
I'm just assuming that Videl, in my head, just has all the gadgets that Conan Edogawa in the popular manga Case Closed or Detective Conan has. Mm-hmm. Everything down to just weird trank darts, voice modulation bow ties, even the outfit. It's exactly the similar, it's just Videl's head.
Yeah. Right.
That's how I've been picturing it this whole time, too.
So I'm just going to assume she does a high power soccer kick or something that ricochets off some kind of a wall that knocks out Launch but leaves the Elsa Barbara unscathed. Because that's how
all the while high energy 60s music is playing.
Like, that's how these all resolve when it's a high action scene is Conan needs to kick something.
Right.
Does it.
I imagine, like, it's a police raid after negotiations break down or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, right.
Because Launch.
And Videl would manage to corner Launch in some way and turn to her mom and just mouth the word go so that she can run away.
Right.
So this presents the possibility of a subplot presumably following Officer Hoverhound, where he's kind of putting the clues together that someone is helping Beelzebarbara evade capture.
There's an inside job.
Yeah, it has to be. This has to be someone on the inside. And he's like talking to Videl about this and how concerning it is, and she's like, "Yeah,
I'll look into it."
I don't know. I'm five. Well, whatever.
Also, I'm positive that Launch wouldn't snitch.
No, never.
She ain't a snitch.
That's not her style.
Nope.
What about Cannoli as the third party in this?
Officer Hoverhound knows he knows specifically who Cannoli is because he's
from... It's a grudge match.
He's the officer from Plight of the Orphans.
Oh, mm-hmm. Shit. Cannoli and Officer Hound go off to do, like, a Lupin the Third...
A Lupin the Third and Zenigata? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like...
They just back and forth for the rest of eternity.
That's our additional spinoff.
Yep. We need a few more to really round this out. I'm a big fan of him just going, is that Pigaro? The name's Cannoli.
It's definitely not Yamcha.
How can Hercule be involved in this
resolution? He takes the credit for everything. Like, he shows up.
He just says that he did it.
Yeah, no, he shows up. Videl gets him with the trank dart, leans him against a stump or something, and then does the voice modulation to his timber, and just explains how he pieced together this entire crime, and all in one.
Listen, cops, it's my ex-wife. I could tell, because the video was not subtle.
Yeah.
I knew it was Launch all along. I knew exactly who she was.
We've had run-ins before.
Now, I do think we should build that statue with a little bit of give in the chest, but instead of Tien, how about your savior, Hercule?
Oh, Lord. And they do it immediately.
Yep.
Yeah, it's up the next day.
Yeah, yep. Like you blink and it's there. They had to chisel in all of the tiny coarse chest hairs. Do you have any idea how much time that would take?
I would surmise that this case is closed.
Mm-hmm. I think I've gotten my my daily recommended dose of Satan in my life for 1 week.
Well, let's...
Sorry.
let's chill out then. It's time to say our goodbyes.
Time to say our goodbyes. Time to maybe flip open the horoscope section.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. What's my saying this week? Well, basically what we do here is we take a character with either a canonical birthday or a non-canonical birthday that we math our way out of, and come up with a little fake horoscope for them for the week.
fake my ass.
Well, it's
have
real.
Been listening to these?
It's real if you believe in it.
I've noticed that frequently these also double as obituaries. Whether intentionally or not.
No, a little bit. Unfortunately, I could not find such a thing for Zarbon.
That's a shame.
But I did manage to snag a pretty good one for Vegeta.
I'll take it.
Yeah, I would hope. Yeah.
We
haven't
episodes.
We haven't visited Vegeta in a while. I don't think we actually ever have officially done one. Maybe.
I can't recall.
Yes, because
well,
his manga...
That iron's pretty hot right now, so...
Exactly. yeah, because his manga debuted on November 7th, so that would make him a Scorpio. Actually, Zarbon's a Scorpio as well, but I believe this little fortune applies a little bit more to Big V than Big Z. So, Vegeta. A small windfall could come your way today, Vegeta. It could be that someone pays you what you're owed, or you could win a small amount at a scratch-off. You might even find a $20 bill in an old pants pocket. Also,
five Dragon Balls.
Maybe. Also, romance is very much on your mind. But if you can't get together with a partner this evening, you might wind up curling up with a steamy novel. Or five Dragon Balls. Your pick, really.
Now I'm imagining Vegeta curling up with a steamy novel, and I don't think I can quite envision it, but I need to. I need to reach a point in my life where I know what that looks like.
Maybe Vegeta watching Bulma fawn over Zarbon was troubling to him.
He's trying to understand these feelings.
Yeah.
If they're grappling, why doesn't he break her neck? He's clearly in the position. Why doesn't she reply with a beam of energy?
She's yelling, so she's clearly powering up.
Their mouths are connecting, but a beam is not emerging from either one.
I was literally going to say that, Jason. She's putting her mouth on his mouth, but not blasting.
We get, like, three prompts for amazing fanfiction every week now. Jay, we have to write this one. Eventually, I'm just going to have to go through the whole podcast again and just make a list of every amazing idea that we've had.
That's really what this whole podcast is for at this point, is just to give you writing prompts everywhere.
It's a prompt engine, really.
I appreciate it, I suppose.
We're here to put water back in the well.
Well, thank you all for listening again. I appreciate everyone who does listen in. Jason, where can people find you around the internet?
Well, on the internet, you can find me at Twitter and on Tumblr. The name for both is JCalves. That's JAYCALVES. Come say hi.
Melissa, how about you?
Me? I'm on Tumblr when I remember about it, and Twitter and Instagram at Kristaia, KRISTAIA.
Dave, what are you up to?
As has been said previously, I can be found at Scythe, PSYTHE, on Archive of Our Own. If you're interested in fan fictional works, not too many right now, but more hopefully coming in the future. And if things continue on this course, some of them will be Dragon Ball Z related.
Matt, how about you?
You can find me on Twitter at MonumentousMatt, or you can find my art or music on Tumblr, Instagram, YouTube, SoundCloud, whatever, at DefineProg. That's DefineProg.
And you recently started a project relating to this show.
Oh boy, I did.
Oh?
So you know those segments we keep ending the show with about the hailing of the Mr. Satan? And...
Yes.
I'm familiar.
It was suggested that we start doing little one-panel comics of them. And I couldn't resist the urge.
So they're
on the Destructo Discourse Twitter right now. Mm-hmm. We'll see if they get posted elsewhere or not.
Yeah, so check those out.
There's one down, 18 more to go.
Mm. Yeah, and counting.
Yeah.
Get into it.
My new weekly ritual.
Tyler, where can people find you on the internet?
On the internet, I am most likely to be found at whatthefolklorepodcast.com or WTFolklorePodcast.com, which is my other podcast, my initial podcast, which is my roommates and myself talking about fairy tales from around the world and just making up goofs about them and trying to fit them all together into one cohesive story.
I just got to the one with the like the southern folktale mm-hmm. about whistling Jimmy mm-hmm. and what... You're gonna end up like Nietzsche if you continue this. Like, how sane are you by the time I get to the more current episodes?
Not great.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it.
For anyone who hasn't listened to more recent episodes, I did invent a tiny comedian that lives in my brain named Little Jerry. So that's about where my psyche is at.
You got eyes on the inside.
Yeah, I've lined my eyeballs with Little Jerry Seinfeld's. For this show, you can contact us on Twitter at destructo_disc. You can also find us at Gmail at destructodiscourse@gmail.com. And if you would be so kind, please rate and review the show on iTunes. And when you do so, give it a 4-star review.
Mm-hmm. Only 4.
In honor of the Gohan. Give us the Gohan.
We demand it. Whether it's at the bottom of a lake.
Wherever your Gohans may be.
Small child.
in a skull somewhere.
on a hat? Jinx, you owe me a soda.
Ah, beans.
Jinx, you owe me a Gohan.
There it is.
I did see someone gave a 5-star review, which, how dare you?
What?
Ugh.
Do they even listen to the show?
I spit upon the name.
Some people just want to watch the world burn.
They want to watch the world burn with kindness. thank you all for listening. This has been Destructo Discourse. We'll see you next week. If the road ahead you seem so cold. Never turns to day. Don't you be afraid. Go fly away. Chala, chala. No time to hesitate. Don't want to search the earth. But then it was a magic surprise. Oh, chala, chala. Be cool, don't be afraid. You got the power to get you through the night. Chala, chala. No time to hesitate. Gonna search the earth. Within it was a magic surprise. Oh, chala, chala.